Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is continuing with the series of topical studies, and coming up, we're finishing this series as we examine what a life looks like that's been fully surrendered to Jesus. So let's turn to Romans chapter 12 for a message called The Altered Life as we go back to basics.
We tend to hate evil in other people's lives, but we sort of coddle it in our own. We have a much higher tolerance for our own evil practices than we do for the evil practices of others, don't we? But when Paul says abhor evil, he's basically saying abhor evil right at home, right in your heart. Start there, deal with the evil in your own life, and cling to what is good. That's the altered life. It's a holy life. It's a life in pursuit of holiness. Look at verse 10 and also verse 15. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. And then in verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. What's Paul talking about here? He's showing us that the altered life is an others-centered life. You know how you can really get a sense that God's working in your life, that he's really changing you? Because you're becoming less and less selfish. You're becoming less and less self-centered. You're becoming less and less self-focused. And you're becoming more and more others-focused. Boy, the Bible is full of this kind of instruction. Think not only on your own things, but think on the things of others. Put others before yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he was God, did not consider his divinity something to be cling to, the privileges of that divinity. But he humbled himself. He became of no reputation. Paul says, you let this mind, the same mind, be in you. And what God is wanting to do in our lives as he alters us, he's wanting to take our focus off of ourselves and to put it on him, and then that will naturally transfer to others. Because you think of Jesus, he came and he lived entirely for others. Jesus came and he lived his entire life in obedience to God the Father, which translated into serving other people. So the altered life is the others-centered life. And the way he puts it here, kindly affectionate toward one another, brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. See, these are powerful things. In some ways, they seem like small things, but these are the things that when you put them all together, these are the things that make up life. So when these things are changing, you know, when we first come to faith in Christ, and I'm kind of speaking generally here, but you know, usually what happens, the big obvious kinds of sins, they're dealt with, and we recognize that, you know, that's wrong, and I can't live that way anymore, and we repent, we turn away from it, we don't engage in those things any longer. But have you ever noticed there's a whole nother set of sins that still sort of lingers there, and it's a long time and a long process through which God is changing us in regard to those things. Well, this particular thing here, becoming other-centered rather than self-centered, that's kind of a lifetime project for God with us, isn't it? Because there's always that tendency for the self to come back again. It's so easy to revert to thinking about ourselves first. But that's why the New Testament is full of these kinds of reminders, because this is the transformation that God is wanting to see take place in our life, going from a self-centered life to another centered life. Look at verse 11. Verse 11 says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. The altered life is, it's a passionate life. Passionate about, primarily about the things of God. That's what he's talking about here. Notice he's referring to the fervency in spirit. He's talking about serving the Lord. He's talking about being diligent. So, you know, we're not to be lackadaisical. If God's done a work in my life, and if that sanctification process is happening and the change is occurring, one of the things that we're going to see in our lives is there's going to be a passion for the things of God. There's going to be an intensity about that. Now, everybody has variations in their personality and the way they express things. My personality is one that's kind of non-expressive a lot of times. And, I can be super excited, but nobody would know it. Just my personality. But then also people will recognize sometimes, they'll go, wow, I never saw that side of you before. I can get fired up about things as well. And I can think of even times, somebody will ask me a question sort of like, hey, so what's your vision? Or what do you think about this? And all of a sudden I find myself, I'm just getting intense about it. And, and that's, there's that passion that comes through. Well, that's going to be there in our lives as God's people. That's what he's doing. He's creating in us a passion for himself and for the things of the Spirit. So the altered life is going to show itself in a degree of passion for spiritual things. Look at verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast. Fastly in prayer. The altered life is a patient life. Patience, learning to wait. This is not anything that we really are too thrilled about, is it? Learning patience, waiting. Now, everything in our culture is, it takes us in the opposite direction of this, right? All of our new inventions, as far as our technology goes and all that, the main feature that everybody's always advertising is the speed with which this will accomplish certain tasks. You don't have to wait. You don't have to be patient. And that's fine when it comes to electronic gadgets, but it's not fine when it comes to life and people. And God wants to develop and cultivate in us a patience. And each one of these things imply that rejoicing in hope. Hope requires patience. Patient in tribulation is obvious. Continuing steadfastly in prayer, persevering in prayer. So we're going to become patient people as time goes on. Even just on a daily level in our relations with other people, when you meet somebody that's really impatient, or when you are being impatient, it's not pleasant, is it? It's not good. I found myself, I'm usually not like that, but occasionally I will be like that. Maybe I've, I'm making some excuses for it here. Has nothing to do with my spiritual development, of course. I just didn't get enough sleep last night, or I didn't eat enough protein today and my blood sugar's low, or, I got all kinds of great excuses for when I'm behaving badly. But I found myself last week, for whatever reason, just even though it wasn't necessarily coming out so much, it was in me, just this impatience, kind of impatient with everything. And you have to stop and think, wait a second, this isn't the way the Lord wants me to be. He wants to cultivate patience in our lives. Patience, we hear people say patience is a virtue. It is. It's a beautiful thing. And it's something that's going to manifest itself in us as God's people. Verse 13, look at what verse 13 says. It says, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality, the altered life, it's a generous life. You know, God will make us generous people. He will make us hospitable people. He will make us giving people. You know, God's not going to let you stay stingy if that's your tendency. God's not going to let you continue to hoard and things like that. He works in us to give us a generous spirit. God is generous. And if we're being transformed into his image, there's going to be a generosity that develops in our lives. And Paul's describing that right here. Distributing to the needs of the saints. You see somebody have a need, and you've got the means to meet the need, and there's going to be that flow, that compassion that just moves you to generosity. And there's going to be that attitude of hospitality that's going to increase, that's going to develop. It's going to become more and more apparent in our lives as we go on. If we remain tightwads, if we have no concern or care or compassion for the needs of others, if we have no desire to demonstrate hospitality toward anybody, well, we're going in the wrong direction. That's not the direction of alteration that is declared here. Verse 16, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. The altered life, it's a humble life. It's a humble life. God takes proud people and he humbles them. Pride is an ugly thing. I don't know that there's any good picture of pride. And I'm talking about pride in the, you know, in the negative sense. I mean, you can say, I'm proud of my son. Okay, that's a good kind of a pride. But you know, I'm talking about the kind of pride that's probably better defined as arrogance. When you meet an arrogant person, that just grates against us, doesn't it? Oh, that guy's just so full of himself, we say. Oh, I can't, you know, just bragging and talking. You see, this is what Christ deals with. He changes us. He turns us into different people. He takes people who would naturally be given to boasting and to bragging and to, you know, praising themselves and talking about themselves, and he humbles them. And he turns them into humble people who are not like that. People who are not wise in their own opinion or setting their mind on high things and seeking to associate with those, but rather are happy to associate with the humble. See, these are all, this is a picture of a beautiful life. Verse chapter 13, verse 1, he says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. And then in verse 5, he says, therefore you must be subject. And what Paul's describing here is that the altered life is a submissive life. As God's people, we're not rebels. We're not in a constant state of revolution against authority. But we're submitted to authority. We're looking at God as the ultimate authority. We're trusting him. And so the altered life is a submissive life. And then finally, chapter 13, verse 8 says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. And then verse 10, love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. The altered life is finally a love-driven life. God is going to take hostility, hatred, animosity, bitterness, those kinds of things. He's going to rip that out of us. He's going to work that out of us, and he's going to replace that with love. That's the thing. And now I want to just, again, let me run through these real quickly. And then in your mind, just think about, just Envision in your mind what this is looking like. The altered life is a balanced life. It's a life in community. It's supernatural. It's authentic. It's holy. It's other-centered. It's passionate about the things of God. It's patient with the issues of life. It's generous, humble, submissive, love-driven. Man, that's a beautiful life. That's an attractive life. That's the kind of life that God is calling us to. That's the kind of life that God is empowering us to live. That's what He's working in us. That's what He's moving us toward. Now, He's doing that for two reasons. Reason number one, He's doing that because that pleases Him. You see, He's redeemed for Himself His own special people, a people that please Him, a people that He looks upon with delight. That's number one. But secondly, He's doing this that through this people that please Him, He might show Himself to those who need Him. So you see, God is wanting to change us for our benefit because it delights His heart and it also then impacts other people. He wants to use us to impact other people. Last week, I quoted to you from Timothy Keller, and I want to come back to that quote and wrap everything up, looking once again at what he said. He said, "We will have an impact for the gospel if we are like those around us, yet profoundly different and unlike them at the same time." And so remember, like those around us. Yet, yes, we're like those around us. We're not freaks. We're not weird. We dress the same way. We eat the same food. We attend the same events to a large degree. We work alongside of one another in the same places of employment. So here we are. We're like those around us, but yet profoundly different and unlike them at the same time. What we're describing here, that's exactly it. This is profoundly different and unlike everybody else. You see, this is the difference that there is to be in your life and in my life because we are God's people. Because our lives have been put on the altar as living sacrifices, and as a result of that, alteration has taken place. God is changing us. And the world around us, they're going to see it. They're going to notice it. And it's true. Oftentimes, before you ever even get to share a Bible verse with somebody, the thing that gets their attention or draws their interest toward you, what is it? It's your life. Your life is different. Last night here at the church, we had the last Shine event for Saturday nights. They're going to be moving to Thursday nights in the new year. But Ryan had as his guest here last night a man named Frank Sontag. And I knew that Frank was the successor, so to speak, to Frank Pastore, who was on KKLA as, you know, kind of a Bible answer man, apologetics guy. And maybe you remember Frank Pastore died as a result of a motorcycle accident a few months back. And so Frank Sontag became his replacement. And so I knew Frank was going to be here last night. He interviewed me on the phone a few months ago, so we had a little bit of a connection. But I wanted to come out and meet him. And honestly, I didn't really know anything about him. And so we ran into each other in the back, and we sat down, and I said, "Hey, you know, tell me your story. You know, how did you end up in this place?" And so he started to tell me his story. And as he was telling me his story, suddenly his name was sounding a little bit more familiar to me. And then all of a sudden it clicked. He was telling me, "Well, yeah, I was formerly in radio. I was involved deeply in the New Age and all of this kind of stuff." And, you know, I said, "Well, okay, you were in radio." And as we continue to talk, "Yeah, for 21 years, I was a disc jockey at KLOS. KLOS is the largest rock and roll station in Southern California, maybe in the nation. And I said, I remember the day KLOS came on the air. So I'm very familiar with that station, 95 and a half KLOS, 21 years. So I thought, that's where I've heard his name before. So as we sat there talking, I said, okay, you are KLOS disc jockey, and now you're answering Bible questions at KKLA. How did that happen? How did you go from one thing to the other? And he told me about his back. He told me he actually had a motorcycle accident. Interesting. Frank Pastore had the same thing. He had a motorcycle accident back in the 80s. He came out of that and thought, you know, I need to change my life, and I got to get spiritual. And so he said, I went headfirst into the New Age movement. And he became a Buddhist, and he got into all kinds of the Eastern stuff. And apparently a lot of what he did on the radio was he sought to promote that New Age lifestyle and so forth. And all of this. So anyway, okay, so how did you come to Christ? How did that happen? And this is what he said. He said, I had a friend who became a Christian. And his life was so radically different, I had to take serious what he had to say because I couldn't deny what I saw. There was an alteration that took place in his life. And so he told me the story. He went to meet with his friend, and his friend's brother happened to be a pastor, and he asked him one simple question, and one thing led to another, and suddenly God is, you know, dealing with this guy and ultimately brings him to faith. But he said an interesting thing to me. He said, you know, I have a friend that's still at the station where I previously was, and he said, I'd ask you to pray for him, he said, because he's gone through some tragedy in his life, and he said he's asking a lot of questions right now, and he's looking at what's happened in my life, and he can't deny the change that's taken place. So you see, that's how it works. God changes you. God changes me. Those things bless him because we're becoming more like him and more compatible with him. But he's also taking that altered life and he's putting it forth for other people to see that they then might be drawn to him. Remember what Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus expects that as we live for him, people are going to see it and they're going to make the connection back to God. Peter said a similar thing. He said that we are called to show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And as we live the altered life, as we live this different life, like Keller said, we're like those around us, but yet profoundly different and unlike them at the same time. Because we are love-driven. We're submissive to authority. We're humble. We're generous. We're patient. We're passionate. We're other-centered. We're holy. We're authentic. We're supernatural. We're in community. We're balanced. That's beautiful. That's attractive. That will get people's attention. That will get them thinking that there might be something more to this God thing than they previously thought. And so, God alters us, makes us into those that represent him.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the scriptures, but if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on resources, then audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called The Altered Life, and the resource number is BBT0010. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Our God. Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.